Welcome to Venice, Galileo. Are things going well at the University of Padua?
Well enough. I will only be in Venice a short time. Is there any news of interest since my last trip?
Political, ecclesiastical, or scientific?
All three. But first, the scientific news.
A Dutchman, Hans Lippershey, who is an eyeglass maker in Middelburg, Holland, has constructed an instrument which holds two glass lenses in a tube, one before the other. When one looks through this tube, distant objects seem near at hand.
What?
Oh, it's an amazing toy. And he's been aiming it at the weathercock on the church steeple for the amusement of the village burghers. Ah, but it has one drawback.
What is that?
Objects are all seen upside down.
Well, that does not really matter. But does one of these toys exist in Venice?
No. We've just heard the news from some travelers.
Well, I suppose I will have to build one of my own when I return to Padua.
Galileo was a mathematics professor at Padua who had built a considerable reputation by his study of falling objects and his disputation of Aristotle's theories in the same field. Some claim that he dropped different weighted balls from the Tower of Pisa to prove that the speed of their fall is not controlled by the weight of the balls. In any case, Galileo was a doer, and when he heard of the spyglass, he just went and made one of his own. He visited the local eyeglass maker for lenses and launched a study of optics. As the lenses available to him were too small for his purposes, he learned to grind his own lenses. Galileo was one of the true Renaissance men, a master of many sciences and trades. He pointed his telescope not at church steeples, but at the heavens. And what he saw astounded him.
The moon does not possess a smooth and polished surface, but one rough and uneven. And just like the face of the earth itself, is everywhere full of vast heights, deep chasms, and shadowed curves. The fixed stars appear of the same shape as when viewed with the naked eye, but so much larger that a star of the fifth or sixth magnitude seems to equal Sirius, the largest of all fixed stars. But beyond the stars of the sixth magnitude, you will behold a host of stars, so numerous as to be almost beyond belief. And Jupiter has four satellites circling round her, just like the Earth's moon. Venus undergoes constantly changing phases, from a full orb to a thin crescent and back again. It must be revolving around the sun.
Galileo published his findings in 1610 in a book titled Messenger from the Stars. A great furor greeted this work as it directly challenged the accepted system of Aristotle and Ptolemy and supported the theories of Copernicus. One strange result of this uproar was the placing of Copernicus's book on the church's index of forbidden books 73 years after it was published. Galileo was ordered by the church to cease defending the Copernican theory and devote himself to other studies. For 16 years, until 1632, Galileo followed this injunction.
Now that my friend and a friend of science, Cardinal Barberini, is the Pope, I shall publish my new work, A Dialogue on the Two Great World Systems.
But Galileo was greatly mistaken. His new book was a powerful argument in favor of Copernicus, and though it was written cleverly to pass the Vatican censors for publication, it aroused bitter sentiment in the church, and Galileo was ordered to appear before the Inquisition.
We ordain that your book be prohibited by public edict. We condemn you to the formal prison of this holy office during our pleasure. And by way of salutary penance, we enjoin that for 3 years to come, you repeat once a week the seven penitential psalms, reserving to ourselves liberty to moderate in whole or in part the aforesaid penalties and penance.
I recant all that I have written, that the sun is the center of the universe, and that the earth is not the center and moves.
This Inquisition proceeding is over.
always never made anything like this in my life.
And yet, it moves.
Galileo, now 69 years of age, spent the 10 remaining years of his life under house arrest in his villa near Florence. He was allowed to continue his work in fields other than astronomy. Though he had lost in the courts of the church, Galileo and his telescope had struck a fatal blow at the theories of Aristotle and Ptolemy. Men all over Europe could now look for themselves at the skies and see the truth of Galileo's observations. There remained one major mystery. Why did the planets revolve around the sun and the satellites around the planets? The answer to that would firmly and finally put to rest Ptolemy's concept of the universe. The genius who tied together the work of Copernicus in Poland, Kepler in Austria, and Galileo in Italy was Sir Isaac Newton. Born in England in the same year that Galileo died, 1642, he was educated at Cambridge University. After graduation, he continued his studies there for his master's degree. During this period, and a few years afterward, Newton produced some of the greatest scientific discoveries. The major discovery was his law of gravitation, which explained the attraction of all bodies in the solar system. This would explain Kepler's laws, but he needed a special type of mathematics for his research, so he invented calculus. Newton studied optics and discovered with the aid of a prism that a white light could be split up into its component colors. He also perfected the first reflecting telescope, explained the cause of tides, the bulge at the Earth's equator, and the reason for the precession of the equinoxes. But his three laws of motion were his major triumphs.
A body will continue in a state of rest or uniform motion unless acted upon by a force. To every force, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Acceleration is equal to force divided by mass.
With these laws, the science of physics could begin.